For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
With Jaden Daniels missing his second straight practice with that rib injury on Thursday, Marcus Mariota once again taking all the reps at practice in his place, where is your confidence the Commanders are going to hold up their end of the rookie quarterback showdown? With a full participation by Daniels today, do the trick? Does limited practice give him a shot? Do you believe he'll be scratched later today?
Yeah, I think if he doesn't practice, he'll be scratched, but word is he's going to give it a go. I mean, here's the reality of life in the NFL. You do everything you can do to play every game. And I think that that's a valuable lesson for everyone to learn, including rookies. And it would not surprise me if Jaden Daniel plays, even if he is somewhat compromised. And I know that no one wants to hear that, and no one believes that's the correct way to go about it, but it is kind of the lesson you learn in the NFL that, you know, it's more important to play than anything else. And it's more valuable to teams to have players that can participate than anything else. And when we, whenever we talk about contracts, extensions, etc., you go back to availability being the greatest ability. And, well, you know, the guy did miss four games, or, you know, he's missed seven
games.
Not
the NBA.
Yeah, there's not load management considerations in the NFL. There's just too few games, and each one takes on more importance. And I get it. They've got three division games coming up soon thereafter, and the way the coach talked about it made it sound like maybe they wouldn't go with him. I think he's either scratched today or he plays today. Plays on Sunday. I think that if they deem that he can't protect himself or there's a problem, then he's not going to play. And, you know, they will make the hurt go away. I don't know how well he'll play, but I think he probably will play.
I think this thing will go all the way down to a game time decision. I don't even know if we'll know at noon. I think they're going to stretch this out and say he went through. Today he will be limited. He will be out there. He will be limited. And then they will say, we'll have to see. He'll go through the pregame warm-up, see how much he can tolerate the pain once they shoot him up with the Toradol.
You play if you can in the NFL. There's only 17 chances to make an impact on a season. And somebody who has been an early season MVP candidate, he's not been better than Jared Goff. He's not been better than Lamar Jackson, maybe not even Joe Burrow. But he's been a top five quarterback in the league. That is special. So I think that they will try to see if he can play. But I also think that somebody has got to get to Dan Quinn, or somebody in that organization has to have this conversation if he does not practice today. And it's, everything is qualified here, conditional, right? So if he does not practice today, I have to believe that they're going to take the long view here. This is a team with playoff aspirations, and this one game might be worth resting Jaden Daniels for the best thing for the Washington Commanders, so he's intact for the remainder of the season, rather than have him come back, shoot him up, and then compromise his health today and maybe get exposed to another type of hit or injury because he's playing at less than 100%. I just wonder if cooler heads will prevail, or they'll err on the side of caution, all the things that you could say. It would make sense to me for them to do that. And if I were a member of an organization with a franchise quarterback coming into a game like this as a rookie, I might recommend that. I still will be surprised if he plays. I think I'll either way, it'll be an opportunity for the Bears. It's a better opportunity if he doesn't play, but I think that he's to me right now, sitting here this morning, I'll be surprised if he does.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs, 7 a.m. Biggs time. Get the official pick, which of Sunday's OCs has had a bigger impact in Caleb Williams' career, Shane Waldron or Cliff Kingsbury?
So this is an interesting question. It came to mind yesterday when we were listening to Cliff Kingsbury, as I was listening to Cliff Kingsbury talk about Caleb Williams and talk about his interview with the Bears. We'll get to that later.
That's a good one.
That was an abrupt turn. And I wondered if we have made way too much of the Cliff Kingsbury impact or connection to, or the way that Cliff Kingsbury and Caleb Williams are aligned in our minds. He was there for a season, right? He was there in USC for a year, and Caleb Williams was a quarterback, and Cliff Kingsbury was the offensive assistant. And I think that it bears remembering that Lincoln Riley was the coach that Caleb Williams followed from Norman, Oklahoma to Los Angeles, from Oklahoma to USC. Lincoln Riley is the guy that has been instrumental and an influential figure in Caleb Williams' upbringing, development, and all those things. I'm not sure where Cliff Kingsbury fits. They've been very cordial to each other. They do connect and communicate and all those things, but I do wonder if we've overstated that a tad this week, or it has been overstated. So I think of Shane Waldron, your rookie quarterback and his first offensive coordinator. Shane Waldron's had a bigger impact than Caleb Williams' development this season, during so far in his professional career, than a guy who we spent last season with on the same staff at USC.
I'll agree with you that it's Shane Waldron, but I don't think we've even made nearly enough about the Cliff Kingsbury not getting the job and interviewing for the job. And we heard earlier in the week, the head coach of the Bears, we just talk ball. We just talk ball. We didn't really get into the quarterback. We just talk ball. The you-know-what meter went up on that one. They couldn't have just talked ball. But yes, at this point, Shane Waldron's had a bigger impact on his NFL career. NFL is the key word at this point.
Yeah, of course he has. He's had a much larger influence on his career because he's the first professional offensive coordinator he's played for. And you're right. He was a quarterback's coach. Kingsbury was sort of a guy that was there kind of killing a year before he got back in the league. As far as him and the Bears, I think that it's a really difficult one to sort of figure out. There are some guys that can knock it out of the park in interviews, and there are some guys that don't. There are some people that you get this feeling for immediately, and it's exactly what you were hoping a guy would say. And then there's some people that you might have really liked, but for whatever reason, it doesn't happen. You know, I go back to Ron Rivera interviewed for a bunch of jobs, and you would talk to people, and they'd be like, nah, you know, he wasn't great on the board, or he didn't do. There are always reasons where somebody doesn't connect with people. So, I mean, if you interview for a job and you don't get it, I think if you knew right away that you weren't going to get it, you'd be like, yeah, okay. But if you interview for a job and you didn't feel it and you're not surprised you didn't get it, then maybe you don't have that big a grudge about it. I don't know. I don't know how people interview, and I think it's a difficult thing to sort of pick apart.
I know what you're saying, but the fact that he was an NFL head coach before suggests that he knows how to interview well, but it seems pretty clear that this one did not go well.
And it makes me wonder if there was an element of the fact that he was an NFL head coach before worked against him.
Because you don't want to hire your replacement.
That's part of the whole
And maybe
process.
He knew that going in, or maybe he was unprepared for the meeting.
Who
a
knows?
Lot of things
That's
could
what I'm
factor
saying.
In.
There's all sorts of stuff that happens with these job meetings. But I give you that it is very interesting because of the success that he has had and because of the relationship he did have. And we'll hear all that audio as we move forward.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
Voice of Mark Grody, 825 is Grody time. Where is your confidence on the Bears injury front? Do you believe Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon will be out? What about Tyreek Stevenson, limited for a second straight day? How about the defensive tackle Zach Pickens, quarterback Terrell Smith, full go, and long snapper Scott Daly also a full go yet again?
Yes, I feel like Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon will be out. I don't feel like they're going to play. And I think that the problem I have, and the reason I say that, is Jaquan Brisker hasn't played in, what, 3 weeks? Because he did not play, had a week off, and hasn't played yet this week. That's a long period of time. It was like a Monday where he came in. It's probably longer than 3 weeks, to be honest with you. It was the Monday he felt something after the game in which he was injured, you know. And that's a concussion, and there are more things involved in him returning. I think when we heard from Flusi say there's a couple of things he had to get past, I didn't feel like it was a really good thought. Now, who knows? Maybe they clear him today. Maybe he's ready to go, and maybe he can come back and play, and that would be fantastic. I think Gordon's out. I think you got a hamstring, and you're not even able to practice at all. I think hamstrings take longer, and I not longer than concussions, but longer than 1 week, I should say. So I think he probably will be out, and I like the fact that all these other people are giving it a go. I think Terrell Smith will help. I think he's a good player, and I'm curious to see if Zach Pickens can play or not, and it's good you got your long snap.
Yeah, I don't think there's any shot that Brisker's out there. Zero. And that does concern me and might even affect my pick coming up in a few minutes. Kyler Gordon.
That's a tease.
Maybe Kyler Gordon. Tyreek Stevenson, that's good news. That's probably the best news of the news that he did 2 days in a row limited. That means he's on the path.
What about the long snapper?
Fantastic.
You don't have to go to Cole Kmet this week.
No, but they brought in a former Pro Bowler just in case, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they weren't going back to Cole Kmet.
I think Brisker, that's a long shot. I can't see that happening, because even if he were to wake up today and pass all the necessary protocols, it's been a long time and you might want to take another week. Maybe Gordon goes. You know, hamstrings are funny. Everyone's are different. He's got very finely tuned muscles, so you just don't know. Somebody with his athleticism and build, they will miss him if he does not play. They have capable backups. We can talk about the depth. We can congratulate John Hoke, the secondary coach. All those things remain true. But Kyler Gordon might be the most indispensable player in a very good secondary just because of the variety of ways that he's used. Zach Pickens is like getting a defensive lineman at the trade deadline. He's a guy that has not helped you yet. And he's a guy that you drafted to help you in the middle. And so if he could come back, that would be definitely good news. You figure he'll play a role. And Terrell Smith is somebody that you think will take the place of Kyler Gordon, or in a variety of different ways. He just helps by being healthy. So the Bears injury front could be worse. Could be much worse. You don't want to go into a game without Jaquan Brisker. But you know what? Unfortunately, you've done it before. And your defense still can be a very good, if not dominant, defense without him. I would not change my pick because Jaquan Brisker isn't going to play, but I think everyone in this room reserves the right to do so, even if they want to be short-sighted.
Those are the unanswerable questions.
Disappointed in you, David. That was the voice of Casey Johnson. He'll be here at 8 to talk Bulls basketball, which you will hear at 6:45 on The Score. Any surprise the Bulls are holding Lonzo Ball out in Milwaukee tonight for injury management? Ball will not play in back-to-back games, therefore will play 16 minutes or so in the home opener versus the Thunder on Saturday, also here on The Score. Do you give the Bulls much of a hope in either of those contests?
This is the right call. You want him to come out for the first time at the United Center and it be a moment. And if he were to play tonight in Milwaukee, that would be impossible. So are you manufacturing some drama? Absolutely. But you also, it's a reality you're facing with Lonzo Ball. Just be happy he's in the mix. because of the way that he does make an impact when he is on the floor. He changes everything about the offense. He settles things down. He sees things happening before they do. He processes the information quickly. I love the way Kendall Gill described it. Lonzo Ball, in the NFL context, throws guys open. And he certainly can throw it to a point where Zach LaVine can throw it down on an alley-oop dunk. So I am glad they're doing that tomorrow night. I don't think it's going to matter. I don't see the Bulls winning this weekend, and I think that's going to be tough. I love the optimism that Kendall had yesterday in talking to him about having to throw out the opener against New Orleans and the 21 turnovers and 30 points. That was ugly and sloppy and messy. So maybe they'll be cleaner tonight. Maybe they'll be better tomorrow. But I don't think you're going to beat either team. Talking about a Bucks team and a Thunder team that are trendy favorites in the respective conferences, maybe to win the conference. Tough challenge for the Bulls.
Zero surprise, and I'm not changing my pick. The Bulls are not going to win a game in October. They won't win tonight. They are a 10-point underdog. 10-point underdog, according to our fine people at Circus Sports Illinois. 10. This is a bad team. I saw the Thunder, who they play on Saturday, just absolutely crush the Nuggets to start the season. So that's another bad matchup. This is, I can't just throw that game out. You just can't. They had a preseason, and they were not engaged. You heard their TV analyst say, well, come on, give me the hot sauce. Yeah. Do something.
Right.
They just were not engaged. So, no, the Lonzo Ball's not going. I'm glad the Bulls are giving the home fans the Lonzo Ball treatment, not the Milwaukee Buck fans the Lonzo Ball treatment.
Yeah, I think it's the right move. I think we talked about it, and we figured that was the move they would make. I think he's better off playing at home and maybe better as a result, and he will get a great treatment from the fans at home. I don't think they win either game. I'm kind of with you, Dustin. I thought that a lot of the problems with the team were fairly evident to me in the first game, and I just don't see what's going to change, even if, you know, a certain star player were to go off for a longer period of time. I don't know that that's going to impact or change the game, whether Zach can score 40 or 50 points. I just don't think it's going to matter. I think that the Bucks are a better, more talented team. They have better frontline players. The Bulls, you know, we sit here, we talk about losing to New Orleans. New Orleans was without one of their better players, and it made no impact. They still managed to win fairly handily. So I don't like the Bulls at the Bucks. Haven't seen enough good results to make me want to pick that game, and I think OKC is a seriously good team, and I'm just going to be really curious. That's a game I want to see more than I want to see tonight's, because I want to see how Josh Giddey, if his confidence is back, if he wants to prove something. I think it'll be a telling game to kind of where he's at in his career, based on the fact that this team dumped him when they thought they were on the verge of a championship. So that's an insult, man. Let's see what he can do. I'm very curious.
Oh, my God. What a question. What a question.
That's the voice of Joe Fortenbaugh, 740 with Mully and Haw. Get the pen and paper out. How many future Hall of Famers are competing in this year's World Series between the Dodgers and the Yankees?
You know, I want to say 8, but it's probably closer to 4. I think you feel certain about 4. I think there might be a pitcher thrown in. And I just got to say that it's never as many as you imagine. There are some, you know, Hall of very good players, and I'll go, for the sake of this conversation, I'll go with 6. And do I have to name them? Because
well, I'd love to know. I think the 4 are really obvious, right?
Yeah, the 4 are obvious. Mookie and Ohtani and Judge and Soto.
Right, there's your 4. No doubt about it. Right?
Without
David's
question.
David's already put him on his ballot.
Where are you? I mean, where are you with the pitchers in this? I think there's going to be one. Is it Gerrit Cole? Is Kershaw doesn't count, right?
Does he doesn't count.
He's got to count, though, right?
No, he's not on
the
team.
This is a World Series, though.
He's not on the team. I mean, he obviously counts, but I'm
now
saying.
Now you got to change your answer.
Change my answer.
Yeah. No, I don't think
he here's the thing. If you think the Yankees are going to win the World Series, that means Gerrit Cole probably wins two games. Now, that helps his his credentials.
They got through, and he lost two games. Right. He's only won one of his last three.
If they win
starts.
With Gerrit Cole, it's be his second time he's done
in.
That.
Yeah, then he's in. But right now, he's not in
my
opinion.
That's right. What my
I'm with Mully. Four, Gerrit Cole's the next guy. It could be five if the Yankees win. But
And it could be six if like Stanton wins an MVP and hits seven home runs.
See, that's the thing.
But right now, there's four, and that's it.
That's
four for sure.
Five would be some pitcher.
I'm going with the cold reality is Garrett's going in if he wins this series.
I would agree.
That is Gerrit Cole, number one. Judge.
If he wins in this series.
Soto. Stanton. Stanton is Mr. October.
Maybe.
He's the closest thing we have to Mr. October right now. So that's on the Yankees. You guys aren't giving me Kershaw.
No.
No, how would we
do that? Well, he's on the roster.
The question says, competing.
Okay.
Competing.
Ohtani, Betts, Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman?
They just put in
good.
Todd Helton.
He might not play.
They just put in Todd Helton. Freddie Freeman's going to Hall of Fame, I think. He's
they,
on
needed,
that.
They needed to enshrine somebody?
He's
so
on,
Todd Helton
in? Hey, who, if you were taking an MVP, which MVP would you take?
Which MVP would I take?
I think Ohtani is the
Ohtani's the best player in Major
and
League
Judge
history.
Judge has been not as good as Judge.
Yeah.
But this is the first time, ever 250 home run hitters are facing off in the World Series.
You know what the record for most Hall of Famers in a World Series is? Did you see that?
No.
13. 1932 battle between the Yankees and, wait for it, your Chicago Cubs.
In recent memory, though, one of the Braves World Series teams, there's like six or seven on
not
that
13.
Team. Not 13.
Not 13.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
All right, so this ties into our last question. What is your prediction for the World Series? Who will be the MVP? And how about an unsung hero?
Okay. I will go all of these things. Yankees in six.
Wow.
MVP Juan Soto. Unsung hero. Got to think about this one now. I think that you could look at their bullpen, but you don't really have enough, I think, evidence of guys in the bullpen that could definitely come through for the Yankees. I would say that Austin Wells, that'll be my unsung hero. Catcher for the Yankees, a guy that is going to be in the middle of a lot, maybe comes up with a clutch here, hit here or there. I thought about the shortstop, but I'll go Yankees. And if it is the Dodgers, if the Dodgers somehow find a way to win, their unsung hero will be somebody that we have seen in Chicago a lot, and I just said his name facetiously as a Hall of Fame candidate, it will be Michael Kopech.
Oh, get out. Get out.
Well, I guess Mully's going to be doing the show by himself in a minute because you just stole my thunder.
Get out.
I'm getting out.
Dustin.
I'm getting ejected.
You go with him. The two of you, get out.
We got Mongo over here ejecting people.
I mean, maybe I should just leave. Is that it?
No. I don't want any of us to leave. It's a football Friday.
Football Friday.
All right. What is your prediction? So, you ever hear of the X-Cub factor, the playoffs?
Oh, yes.
How about X-Cub factor? Does that play a role in your pick? Dodgers, zero X-Cubs. Zero. Yankees, arguably, based on how you're playing the Kershaw game,
okay.
Six.
Give them to me.
Six, DJ LeMahieu, Scott Efros, Gleyber Torres, Stroman, Leiter Jr., and, of course, Rizzo.
Oh, I love that. Six, okay? You're right.
So, you see the research I did for this question?
I love that.
Okay, Dodgers in six, Mookie Betts, Hall of Famer, MVP, and unsung hero.
You're taking the Dodgers in six. That's interesting.
Because, Dodgers and six.
Because of the
X-Cub factor.
And also
the Fernando Mania. Yeah.
I have a thought of the X-Cub factor after your prediction.
No, please. Go right ahead.
You're going to ignore the presence of Mark Pryor, the biggest symbol of being jinxed that you could find as far as ex-Cubs.
That's a good point, David.
He's the pitching coach.
It's a little different.
But he's a reminder of how bad things can go in October.
I tried to forget, obviously, in my answer. Thanks, David.
You know, I've gone back and forth on this, and I think that the easiest thing to do would be to say the Dodgers are going to win and that Ohtani clearly would be the MVP, because if they win, he'd be the MVP. But I think it's going to be the Yankees. I think it's going to be Juan Soto as the MVP. And as far as the unheralded, unsung hero, I'm going to go with Carlos Rodon, because I believe that he could be an MVP. Out of all the pitchers in this thing, I think Carlos could win two games. Cole's not pitching very well, if you look at what he's just been through. And I think Carlos, because he has the ability to strike people out, he could shorten games. He could pitch longer. He could have a couple of 7-inning outings and win a couple games. And that's my unsung hero. But I will go with the Yankees, and I'll go with the soon to be free agent, soon to move across the New York area, Mr. Juan.
He stayed with the Yankees. You think he's going to the Mets?
Juan Soto.
I think I should change my pick from Soto to Stanton now, so we don't have the same. But
I already had my picks made. I wasn't copying
you.
I'm not some guy going to an art museum and copying things.
I know you're not a plagiarist.
I'm an original.
I know you're not a plagiarist. I now want to say Stanton, but both those guys are going to have good series, because if the Yankees win, it means their big three are performing and rising to the occasion. Not because they have more ex-Cubs. Has nothing to do with that. That's dead.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.